A lot of people from the US and out of country in general think that moving to Vancouver is simple and easy. It's just a matter of booking your flight, buying or renting a new home, and starting your new life. But here's the truth. If you try that, you're gonna hit a wall. Today, I'm breaking down the seven biggest roadblocks that can stop you in your tracks and prepare so your move doesn't turn into a complete and total nightmare. Be sure to stick around for number five because it's one that shocks almost everyone, even people that have all the money in the world. Let's get into all of it right now. My name is Sebastian Albrecht with the Living in Vancouver BC team, and welcome back to the channel. This channel is all about moving to and living in Vancouver. I put out podcasts just like this one every single week. And this week, we're talking about some of the biggest roadblocks that could be in your path if you're thinking of moving to Vancouver from another country. I want to help you prepare for this move and make sure that you're avoiding some of the biggest pitfalls, the biggest roadblocks that people run into when they're making a move that you're thinking about making right now. And the reason that I think this is so topical is recently I've been getting a lot of inquiries from people all over the world. From the United States in particular, there's so much uncertainty around the world, so much upheaval. And Vancouver is seen as one of the safe havens, a place where people can escape the turmoil of the world. And I certainly can't blame you, but I want to help you as well. So we want to make sure that you're making the right choices and you're doing all the right things to make your move here as smooth as we possibly can. And without further ado, let's get right into roadblock number one, which I think might be the biggest issue you could be facing in your move to Vancouver. One of the biggest misconceptions is that you could just show up in Canada and start living here. You can't arrive on a plane and expect that you can stay here forever. In fact, the reality is that's not the case. There are specific pathways to spending time in Canada. The easiest one is just coming up here on a tourist visa. And so Americans, as an example, can spend up to 6 months in Canada before they have to leave the country and then reapply to come in. And during your stay here, you're not really allowed to do anything. You can just hang out and spend money. You're definitely not allowed to earn money. And so if you want to be a productive member of society, you have to find a different way to enter Canada. And if you want to spend more time, and if you're listening to this podcast, you do want to spend more time than just visiting. You don't want to spend just 6 months. You want to spend years and perhaps the rest of your life in Canada. And there are pathways to that. Specifically, you can come here on a student visa. You can also come here on a work visa. And then there's also the possibility of getting permanent residency. And of course, ultimately Canadian citizenship. And those doors are open. They're just not as open as they have been in the past. They've closed a little bit. A couple of years ago, the doors were much more open, and there used to be different pathways to becoming Canadian or spending more time in Canada. So one of the easiest ways today is to come to study, and the other is to come here to work. But you can't just show up here and then look for work or not have any relevant education. So if you're specifically looking at a work visa as an example, you're generally going to find your pathway to getting a more permanent work permit in Canada in the healthcare sector or in the tech sector. Those are the areas that are in greatest demand at the moment. And ultimately, then perhaps down the road, getting permanent residency. But this takes many, many months and perhaps even years. This is not something that can happen overnight. And also, it's not incredibly relevant how much money you have. And so if you have a lot of money that you want to invest in Canada and you're thinking as that will help you gain citizenship, that is not a direct path to citizenship, unfortunately. The other thing you have to keep in mind is if you're retired and no longer working, there is no direct path to citizenship or staying long periods in Canada either, unfortunately. There was a time where investing a certain amount of money in Canada led to permanent residency, but that door has closed. And so that is no longer an option. Unfortunately. And unfortunately, without foresight, without a plan, without the right paperwork, your journey to Canada may end before it begins. So going back to working in Canada, you just can't show up here and get a job. In fact, in order to get a work visa in Canada, your employer has to demonstrate to the Canadian government that they can't find a Canadian to do that job. Now, there are specific fields where it's going to be easier for you to find a job than others if you're coming here from other countries. And specifically, the areas that are most in demand in Canada are going to be tech, film, healthcare, and engineering. So if you're a doctor, if you're a nurse, if you're an engineer, these are fields that employers in Canada are in desperate need of, and you're more than likely going to find a job in Vancouver relatively easily. But keep in mind, Vancouver jobs don't pay particularly well. We definitely don't get a pay bump for living in such a high cost of living city. So if you're a software engineer in Silicon Valley and you want to move up here to Vancouver, the likelihood is, if you're not staying with the same employer and you're looking for a new job, that you're going to get a lower income here when you move to Vancouver. You're going to benefit in all sorts of other ways. Otherwise, you wouldn't be choosing to move here. But the benefit is not going to be that you're getting paid more than likely. The myth that a lot of people come here with is that Canada has free healthcare, so no worries, I'm covered. I don't need to worry about this. But the reality is, you actually do. Yes, as a Canadian, when you become a permanent resident or a Canadian citizen, you're going to be covered by provincial healthcare, and you're not going to really need to worry about that, at least basic coverage. But as a new Canadian, or as somebody who is just moving here and who has just arrived on a work visa, as an example, you're actually not going to be immediately covered. There's a waiting period, essentially, and that can take roughly 3 months. And so when you arrive, you definitely need private healthcare, because you don't want to have an accident or have some sort of emergency and then get a nasty bill and a nasty surprise. So just realize, when you do arrive, that you're not going to be covered by medical, that you are going to have to get private healthcare, and that's going to cover you for that period until you get covered by the provincial medical program. Also, you should keep in mind that the provincial healthcare does not cover dental, and it also does not cover prescriptions. And so many people will get extended healthcare coverage with their employers that will include prescriptions, it'll include dental, and also eye care. That's another thing that's not covered by the provincial healthcare system. So just a few pointers to keep in mind. Definitely cover yourself with private insurance when you arrive in Canada. Here's another shocker for a lot of people that arrive here and think everything is going to be the same as at home. In Canada, your credit history doesn't move over. So your entire US credit history or your entire UK credit history does not transfer over to Canada, and you have to start everything over again. Not to mention, most of those banks don't exist in Canada. And so the first thing that you want to do is open a bank account when you arrive, and also apply for a credit card and establish your Canadian credit. And of course, if you're looking to get a mortgage, or if you're looking to rent a place and they're doing a credit check on you, you're not going to have any credit. And that's a bit of a problem. So you may find that you need to get a bit of a track record, a little bit of a credit history going before you can even rent or purchase a home in Canada. But I do want to let you know that not every landlord is actually going to check your credit. They may ask for it, but they quite often don't actually do it. It's more likely that a corporate landlord is going to check your credit rather than just sort of a mom and pop investor that owns one property. They're less likely to check your credit history. So that's something to keep in mind. And then the other thing to keep in mind, if you're thinking about a mortgage, there are specific banks that have programs for new Canadians. So despite not having a credit history, there may be ways for you to get a mortgage relatively quickly in Canada as a newcomer to Canada. I want to talk about housing now, and this is perhaps one of the things that shocks the most people that I talk to, is that no matter how much money you have, if you're not Canadian, if you're not a permanent resident, you may not actually be able to buy property in Canada. So there's a few things to keep in mind here. Number one is that there is a federal ban on foreign investment in residential real estate in Canada. There's a foreign ban on owning property, essentially, all over Canada. That's not just Vancouver, that's anywhere in Canada. There are a couple big loopholes in this. Number one is that if you're here on a student visa and you purchase a home that's under $500,000, you're exempt. The issue for Vancouver is there's almost no properties that you're going to want to buy under $500,000. That's a very small percentage of properties that are available. So I don't find a lot of people think about that exemption here in Vancouver. The other big exemption is if you're here on a work visa, and that is something that a lot of people come to Canada on. And there's many people who want to buy property when they're here on work visas and they're working towards permanent residency or Canadian citizenship. So that definitely happens. However, in British Columbia, there is also a foreign buyer tax that applies to every piece of residential property in Metro Vancouver. There is one exception to that, and that's Tawasin First Nations land. And so there are some leasehold properties that you could be exempt for on their land only. And the other exemption is if you're in the provincial nominee program, and that designation is held only for the most desirable immigrants that we want to encourage to move to our province. So if you're in a hotly contested field, you may want to negotiate that and see if you can get that included when you're negotiating with your employer. If that's something that the province is willing to designate you with, perhaps you're a tech CEO, or perhaps you're a doctor in an exclusive field, then it's quite possible that you might qualify as a provincial nominee. And in that case, you would be excluded from the very hefty foreign buyer tax, which is 20% on every single property that you purchase. Now, you're only allowed to buy one property. You're only allowed to buy the property that you live in. You can't buy investment property or anything like that in order to qualify for this exemption. But that is something that scares a lot of people, that surprises a lot of people. There's a lot of people that I talk to that are really, really frustrated. They desperately want to move to Canada and they desperately want to invest in Canada. They want to own the home that they're going to live in, but unfortunately, it's sometimes not possible at all. And other times it becomes quite expensive because you're paying this additional 20%. And most people don't really want to be paying that. So keep that in mind. Now, if you are renting, it can also be a challenge. It can be a challenge because you may need a credit history that's Canadian. And we discussed that in an earlier segment, but they might also want Canadian references. And that becomes quite challenging, of course, if you've just arrived here. So you may very well end up finding it's very challenging, not just to buy, but also to rent when you're moving here from another country. All right, let's talk about taxes. And there's one thing that's going to surprise a lot of US citizens is that the IRS isn't going to let you go. You actually get double taxed if you come to Canada. That's right. If you keep your American citizenship, you will still get taxed by the IRS, by the US government, as well as the Canadian government. So that is something to keep in mind. You're going to want to talk to an accountant to figure that out. Another big surprise when it comes to taxes is our sales tax. And we have 5% GST, and then we also have a 7% provincial sales tax. So the 5% is a federal tax and the 7% is a provincial tax. And those combined to create a 12% tax that we pay on most things. There's some things that are exempted, but most of the stuff, most of the goods and services that we buy have 12% tax on them. So that becomes a little bit of a shock depending on where you're coming from. And I know there's some US states and there's some places that have no sales tax at all. Our income taxes are relatively reasonable. It is going to depend on whether you're a low income earner, a mid income earner, or a high income earner, how those compare. But the other thing when it comes to taxes that you want to be aware of is that if you do end up purchasing property, we of course also have property taxes, as just about everywhere else does, but our property taxes are relatively low. So you have that to look forward to when it comes to taxes. There's going to be some lifestyle adjustments depending on where you're coming from, and frankly, just about everywhere. Even if you just live in Blaine and you end up moving to Canada, there's some things that you might not notice on the surface. You'll only start noticing when you're here for any significant amount of time. But number one that I just want to touch on is the metric system. In Canada, we're supposed to be following the metric system. We actually do a bit of a hybrid in Vancouver. So as an example, all the speed limits are in kilometers. I don't think in miles at all, but I'm also supposed to think in measurements of centimeters or meters in terms of my height. I have no idea what my height is in centimeters or meters. I do know what my height is in feet, interestingly. I also know how much I weigh in pounds. I have no idea what I weigh in kilograms. And so we live in this sort of like weird in-between space between these two systems. We're supposed to have converted completely into the metric system, but the reality is culturally, most of us kind of live in between those two spaces. Another thing you want to get used to is the cost of a number of things. It's not just how housing costs that you probably already know that are relatively expensive and most likely more expensive than when you're coming from. But cost of groceries, especially in comparison to the United States, is significantly higher. We pay more for things like cheese or milk or eggs or bread than you're likely used to. And that's just part of the reality of living in Canada. But we also pay a lot more for gasoline. Gas costs not just a lot more than it does in the United States, it also costs more than it does in most other parts of Canada. We're about 25% more expensive than anywhere else in Canada. We have specific taxes on our gasoline that pays for our transportation network and our transit system in Metro Vancouver. And then on top of that, there's some issues with the refineries that we're dependent on that keep the cost of our gasoline relatively high. On the savings side, you're going to find that there's some things that are relatively cheap that probably aren't going to be as cheap where you come from. And the biggest thing, I think, is the cost of utilities. And most people that move here are shocked how cheap our electricity is and how cheap our natural gas is. And yes, we still rely to a large degree on natural gas, but even more on electricity. And we're lucky enough to live in a part of the world where we can rely on hydroelectric power, which is relatively clean and relatively cheap. And the result is, you know, our utility costs are relatively low here in BC, and specifically specifically here in Vancouver. Now, briefly, I just want to touch on some cultural differences as well. Vancouver's a pretty laid-back place. You're going to find that people move a little more slowly. Things aren't quite as hectic. There's not as much of that hustle culture in Vancouver as you're going to find in some other places. Now, so Vancouver's vibe is very similar to what it's like down the west coast of North America. So it's similar to Seattle, to Portland, to LA. The same kind of laid-back attitude. Hustle culture isn't big here, and people are relatively laid-back, pretty easygoing. And you also see it in the way that people dress. There's not a lot of formal wear in Vancouver. And, you know, what I would say is, in general, people just have a more relaxed attitude to things. People are also very polite, very kind, very open. There is a reputation of not necessarily being able to break through into deeper, more meaningful connections. But honestly, I haven't really found that to be my personal experience, and I've lived here my entire life, making friends with people who have also lived here their entire lives, or plenty of newcomers. But, you know, to each their own, and that you're going to have to find out what your own experience is there as well. Tipping is another thing you may need to get used to. Tipping culture here is pretty big, and it's become even bigger through COVID. And there's an expectation, basically, anytime that you're getting any kind of food served to you, that you're going to be paying a tip. That's anywhere from about 15% to 25%. I come more from the background of like 15% is a really good tip, and you have to do something really well to earn that 15%. But there's definitely pressure in Vancouver to be tipping and to be tipping well. And so those tip machines, the automated tip, can often just start at 18%. The next jump might be 22%, and then it's 25% for the exceptional tip. So you're going to have to decide how you navigate that yourself, but just understand that tipping is a big part of our culture here, and there is an expectation for it. So yeah, moving to Vancouver is challenging, but if you prepare for it, it's definitely possible. But people still do love living in Vancouver, and they love the safety. They love the lifestyle that this city offers. They love being surrounded by nature, and they love the opportunities that the city provides. And I think if you ultimately do move here, you're going to find that you're going to fall in love with this city as well. But keep in mind, I'm not trying to scare you off here. I'm trying to give you the real goods. I'm trying to help you understand exactly what it's like so that you can have a successful move to Vancouver and not be sideswiped by these roadblocks and by these surprises. So ultimately, if you're still thinking of moving to Vancouver, I am a real estate agent that has helped hundreds of people do exactly what you're trying to do. And I can help you find not only the right neighborhood, but also the right home. There's three different ways you can reach me. One, you can call or text at 604-831-4837. You could email me at sebastian@albrechtgroup.ca, or you can book a conversation with me directly at calendly.com/albrechtgroup. Be sure to reach out. I do want to hear from you. Which of these roadblocks really surprised you the most? I reply to every single one of the comments, so be sure to comment down below. And before you leave, I want to make sure that you know that I have over 100 videos, in fact, almost 150 videos, all about moving to and living in Vancouver. And if you have any questions about living in this city, I probably have done a video or a podcast all about that topic. Be sure to check out that enormous back catalog of videos. Thank you so much for listening this one all the way to the end. I'll see you next week.